Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, a scholar of the arts. We've also got Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame.
How's it going, Blake Buck?
It's going good. And special this week, guys, William Miller of soon-to-be Firaxis fame.
How y'all doing? That's right.
Congratulations, sir.
What is this secret heat?
Dude, I don't even know yet. I asked them what my job was going to be, and they say, we can't tell you yet. So, I don't know, secret power.
We probably already have violated the NDA.
Probably. They're going to come down in black helicopters and shoot me. No, Blake Buck. I'm going to be working on, I don't know, something like Blake Buck's favorite game, Civilization.
Dude, you need to tell them, you need to sit Sid Meier down and say, look, son, this is boring. It's too slow, all right? You're trying to make computer board game.
We need a zombie race.
That's right. You tell him to make zombie game next.
So more on that later.
All right, so guys, we've been telling you for the past few months to vote at Podcast Alley, and I am very pleased to say that your votes have been paying off. Our listeners have not even like gone up a little; they have doubled since our Podcast Alley push. So we are really really got to thank you guys for all you're doing for us at Podcast Alley, and keep voting. We're number 21 on Podcast Alley right now. If we could get into the top 10, oh man, I think there might even be a naked Blake Buck video coming around with that.
Yeah, referrals don't lie. So we see where all those new listeners are coming from. We know.
We see you guys coming in. Look, Blake Buck is getting friend requests on Xbox like there's no tomorrow. I can't even talk to all these people. They ask me questions. Blake, when's this game coming out? They think I know everything when I'm playing Xbox and I want to talk to them. I mean, no, I love it when you guys make me your friends. Blake Buck is my gamer tag. Add me. So, keep voting for us at Podcast Alley. Maybe there'll be some video heat payoff if we can get in the top 10. And thanks for all your help so far. And this is all... I didn't do the date. This is your gaming news for some time in the future, 2007 June. This week in the news, Grand Theft Auto 4 delay on the way. What is this mess? Vic, your news just says, oh, son, ninjas and robots on my DS. And StarCraft 2 is announced, South Korea explodes. All this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever.
Okay, so GTA 4, much anticipated sequel in the GTA series, might be delayed. If you can think back to a couple news cycles ago, Take-Two has been in some trouble. GameSpot, reports Take-Two's interactive board was ousted by a shareholder revolt. Since then, it has been unclear what the new company's direction is going to be. So we've got this guy from Wedbush Morgan Securities, Michael Patcher.
Wait a minute, Michael Patcher, hang on. We got to sound our like clown analyst alarm right here. Michael Patcher sounds familiar. Didn't we yell at him for something a few episodes back?
I don't know, probably.
Dude, I don't take any analyst seriously unless he comes from Chart Track.
Chart Track.
Dude, who is Wedbush Morgan Securities? What the f*** do they know about games?
Dude, Chart Track.
You talk to Chart Track.
They got it.
So, he's been speculating as to what's going to happen with Take-Two, and this is kind of, I don't know, Take-Two is also Firaxis's parent company, so this sort of has some fallout on the William Miller side of the fence. But he says the company is likely to announce studio closures, lease terminations, and game cancellations during the conference call. He says that his associates also do not expect new games such as The Bigs, All Pro Football, Fantastic Four, and The Darkness to be widely profitable.
They don't need to be. They don't need to be.
Well, it's because they're new IPs.
Yeah.
Well, I guess except for Fantastic Four. Why? What are you talking about? Fantastic Four is not going to be a hit. Look, it's got comic book plus video game equals cash. There's your marketing equation.
So the big speculation that he made was that GTA 4 will be delayed such that it doesn't conflict with the Halo 2 release, which is supposedly September 25th.
David, Halo what?
Or Halo 3, excuse me. Blake Buck said Halo 2 in the chat a while ago and got me confused. I don't know. They're all the same to me.
They're the same game anyway. Same game anyway.
So new Halo's coming out. They don't want it to conflict with new GTA 4. But what I don't really get this, because GTA 4 is going to be a hit regardless of when that heat comes out. So, you know, I don't know. It's all speculation.
Dude, I want my Middle Eastern terrorist Grand Theft Auto protagonist. You can't delay my jihad, baby.
Look, it could be Intifada. All right.
Well, I think they're, you know, look, I think they're, you know, these game companies are real concerned about, like, the first weekend sales, and if people are just went out and bought that hat with Halo for $150,000, they're not going to have the money to buy Grand Theft Auto 4. I hear there's even a super pack of Grand Theft Auto 4 that's like $90 too. These game developers are getting ridiculous,
dude. If they have a $130 Halo Legendary Edition with a helmet, they need to have a Grand Theft Auto 4 Legendary Edition with like a or something.
No, there's like a limited edition that comes with some sort of like duffel bag and like a lockbox or something. I was reading over it. It was very strange.
Dude, it needs to come with a shotgun.
It comes with a soundtrack CD, art book, duffel bag, keychain, and lockbox.
I like that. Lockbox.
You can keep your
your stash.
Your drugs, your stash in that lockbox.
I was going to say your 2004 election secrets in that box.
See, here's what pisses me off, and this is sort of like a, I don't know, an overarching like theme in the games industry, is that like the life of a new game is like 2 weeks. Life of a AAA game is like 2 weeks. That's it. That's all that matters. It sucks, man.
Well, no, I mean, the first 2 week numbers are important, but like some games will keep selling. Grand Theft Auto 4 is going to be selling 4 years from now. They're still going to be selling copies of this game.
Yeah, but that's more the exception than the rule. Like Grand Theft Auto will sell forever. God of War will sell forever. There's maybe like 5 to 10 games that can really say they can do that.
Yeah, but your typical like AAA title is only going to live for about 2 weeks, and then it's gone.
Dude, like Crackdown, 2 weeks.
Yeah. And how much does that game cost to make? Like, a lot.
They got another 5 days from the downloadable content.
I'm sure they made their money back on Crackdown.
Anyway, enough.
All right, just Vic, what you got here?
In lighter news, there are ninjas and robots coming to my DS in the form of N+. Now, N+ is an enhanced version of the old kind of load runner-ish game N, which you can find online. Actually, you can find N+ online as a Flash game now. So if you haven't played it, you're a spectacular failure at life, and you should stop listening to this podcast now and go play it. Actually, you know, you can listen to us as you play it, but you're still a loser. But basically, you play this little ragdoll ninja, and you have to jump around this world, collect gold, and you have to avoid killer robots and lasers and turrets and landmines and all kinds of crazy that basically blows you into pieces. And it's addictive. It's fun as hell. And it was just announced that it's coming now to the DS and the PSP. So this is this is supposed to come out sometime in the winter. They haven't mentioned anything specific. It's going to be released by Atari, and also it's coming out to Xbox. I think that announcement was a while back too. But all these games are going to come with an in-game level editor. So once you beat the 5 billion levels that it comes with, you can just make some more, and I'm sure there's going to be tons of ways to share them. And, you know, X-Blah, and I'm sure DS might do something with friends codes. They'd be idiots not to.
Now, in addition to this, the developers of this game, MetaNet Software, I think that's what they are, they're running this contest called Sublime. And it's a contest that you can submit levels for this game to be put in the DS, PSP, or XBLA version. And you can download the game with the level editor from their site and make games. Now, I actually played around with this a little bit today, and I've got to say, this game gets no points for user interface. The level editor is horrible. It's all written in Flash. It's all hotkey based, and like I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. I mean, I figured it out eventually.
You gotta print out, you know, the hotkeys and tape them to your keyboard.
Oh, it's awful. It's so awful. I mean, you should just. It's pretty cool what you can do with it. You know that it's like embedded in the game, but. I don't know. It's terrible design. Like the way you interact with it is just awful. But if you're interested in like, you know, maybe getting a level out there on an XBLA game or something, I don't know if there's any like prize money associated with this, but it'd be pretty cool to win regardless.
Well, I know that the game has such a huge following that there's going to be no shortage of levels for this.
Yeah, and they're pretty simple, so you could make like 10 of them in an afternoon.
Now, if I had one criticism of N, it's that game is way too hard. Like, you play through the first 10 levels, and then, like, each level is the hardest level you've ever played in your life, successively. So I only saw maybe 10% of all the levels in this game. I think maybe I want to think about toning down difficulty if they want to. Well, maybe not, but, you know, I don't know. I certainly thought that the difficulty was one to. I mean, look, I'm pretty good at these kind of games, and it was tough for me.
Also, if you're a developer, they've got some really interesting. God damn it! Did any of y'all hear that dog?
Yeah, is that on your side?
Do you hear that,
dude? I'm gonna grind up my watch and put it in a hamburger and feed it to him.
Oh my god! Like this dog barks all day every day. My neighbor's dog, like it's dying. It's not like a regular bark. It's like I am dying bark. I've called the cops like 3 times. Like the neighbors have called the cops. They should just, man, I'm telling you.
Dude, listen, son. If Justin Fit comes down to Georgia, we're gonna eat that dog. We're gonna have dying dog steak.
Put some antifreeze in its food or something, man. I f-ing hate that dog. God damn it. Anyway, I'm sorry. So anyway, the developers of this game are pretty cool because they put a lot of, like, if you go to their forums, they have a lot of tutorials on how they made the game or some of the tech that they used to make the game. And there are a lot of, like, physics and collision detection, and it's a real physics-heavy game if you've played it. So if you're a developer, you're interested in that stuff, go check it out.
Cool. So when is this heat coming out?
Doesn't say specifically, but sometime this winter.
Well, I better not slip. That sounds like a slipper right there.
Speaking of eating dogs, I think Blake Buck has some big news for South Korea.
God damn it.
Wow, what a socially insensitive segue. StarCraft II has been announced in South Korea.
That was masterful,
dude.
Justin Fink. You set that one up.
Set it up, knock it down.
So, well, I guess it really hasn't been. It was announced in South Korea, but it's really for the. It's not just coming out in South Korea, it's worldwide. But in Seoul, South Korea, Blizzard Entertainment, blah, 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 blah. Essentially, StarCraft II. What, I don't even need to say anything. Why am I even reading this? StarCraft II. It's got hot new graphics, all new 3D engines, going to use the same 3 races from the original, Protoss, Zeron, and Zerg. Overhaul and reimagine with Blizzard's signature approach to game and balance. Yeah, they're adding new units, new gameplay mechanics. It's gonna have it all. StarCraft II is. I mean, they showed videos of it. It's looking good. I'm excited.
Dude, I am so glad though they are not introducing a fourth race, because if they did, I would just take their game design and all over it.
That's what I think is cool. Like, it looks like the changes. I mean, it looks like it looks like the biggest thing they've changed is like unit cap has been increased.
Nice.
Several fold. But, well, it doesn't say that specifically, but from the videos I saw, there were definitely a lot more units running around than in StarCraft 1.
I love it because it's so similar to the original. It's like, right. The original isn't broken. In fact, it's probably one of those perfect games. You know, they kept tweaking it for years and years and years. And you can still buy that game in Walmart, so why change it? You know, just make it, spruce it up a little bit, add some more stuff, put it out there, you know. Awesome.
I think this is really Blizzard playing to their strengths, because Blizzard has always been the company. It's like they have, like, they only have 3 games and they've made it a million times. And this is one of those things, like, you know what? We know that we can't come up with another original f***ing IP to save our lives. So let's just make the same game over again, but even more awesome.
It's true.
You know, I have a friend, well, sort of more of an acquaintance. One of my friend's roommates went off and worked for Blizzard. And apparently, if you work for Blizzard for 5 years, they give you a sword.
Nice. Does it have any agility bonuses on it?
No, I don't think so. But like, my buddies, they all live in the super house, right? My super house friends associate with this guy that works at Blizzard. And when he first got the job at Blizzard, he sent them a gift package, right? Because apparently they just shower you with gifts when you get a job there. So he sent home a gift package with like 3 WoW cards. You know, you can buy like the free WoW for 3 months or whatever cards. So they pop these things in and type in the code, and it's like WoW for 30 years free.
Nice.
Wow.
And they just about died.
10-year cards. I like that. Decade cards.
Well, I remember seeing one of the developers of Diablo 2. So I guess one of the execs actually gave him like real life replica of Frostburn gauntlets. And I was like, dude, that is the
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Like the most useless f-ing executive gift. Like, I don't know, just give me a bonus.
Baby, I'd use them gauntlets.
Dude!
Son, I'd wear them things everywhere.
Dude, what are you going to spend your mana on? Who cares about plus 30% of mana, son? Dude!
Look, I'd use those for hit.
Dude, you're not even a sorceress. I don't see your firebolt.
Look, William Miller would make love with his Frostborn gauntlets.
Look, you don't like him. Too bad.
Oh, William, they cut me. Ow.
Dude, I with for Frostborn arm with gauntlets. I get plus 30% to speed.
So getting back to StarCraft 2, back on topic, guys. It's going to be coming out on Windows and Macintosh, as always. Going to be simultaneous launch, so good they haven't axed Mac gaming from this iteration. It was done in South... They announced the game in Seoul, South Korea, which is South Korea's capital city, because I don't know if you guys knew this, StarCraft is huge in South Korea. I'm not talking like, no, it's huge. Like, people have been playing it for 7 years.
Dude, I heard that when they announced StarCraft II in South Korea, they stopped progress on their nuclear program, and they all devoted energy to StarCraft II.
I read an article about the South Korean gaming scene, and it's so strange because, like, the key difference is that gaming over there is so cool, whereas over here, it's very, you know, it's still relegated to, you know, nerds. I mean, not so much anymore, but over there, there's nothing hipper than being, like, StarCraft Master.
Oh, it's like their national sport, almost.
Yeah, it really is. And they've got, like, you know, these championships, and you can pick your favorite guy, who's your favorite StarCraft player, and they have televised tournaments. There's even a StarCraft channel runs StarCraft matches all day long.
I actually saw one of these videos. I don't know. It must have been some sort of championship. But it was outside. The screen was a huge projection screen, and, like, they had two computers on the stage. And then like these two little Korean kids walked on there like rock stars. And there's like little Korean girls in the front row screaming their heads off. And then like the screen shows this SCV rush and the crowd explodes.
And see, what's amazing is like these superstars, they'll like wear like these white, you know, anime kind of looking jackets and put like HP or like Sony logos on them because it's like NASCAR over there. Sony will pay you to have their logo on your StarCraft jacket.
Because there's nothing sexier than playing your StarCraft with a jumpsuit. Man, if I were a little Korean girl, I'd go crazy too.
Dude, girls go crazy for my Reaver drop.
Is that a sex move, Justin Fick? Reaver drop?
Yeah, the Reaver drop is a reason. Freshman year of college, Hedrick Hall, StarCraft and the Reaver drop is the reason why none of the girls on that floor had sex. Because no guy on that floor ever went out again after we got into StarCraft.
So, another thing that really struck me about South Korea is that... essentially, what the key dynamic that's really changed South Korea in terms of game development, or I guess game distribution, is that they've had essentially countrywide broadband internet since 1994. So rather than having home PCs, most people go to these internet cafes called PC Bangs, and these cafes license the games, and that's how Blizzard makes all their money, is through licensing to these cafes, and you just play whatever games they got, and so. You know, obviously everybody has StarCraft, and so that's what's really popular. And like Lineage is very popular in South Korea. Obviously, World of Warcraft, all of Blizzard's games, Diablo is still popular over there. So it's really interesting to see like just how different of a culture South Korea's game industry has evolved from like a westernized like United States or Europe.
So can you speculate as to why? I mean, beyond like the internet cafe. Aspect, like what about the Korean culture sort of fueled
classically? I mean, I only read this, so I'm only speaking from what I've read, but classically, like Koreans are a little more introverted as a people, and at least from what I read, and so like it takes a activity that's normally very inward. You know, you're playing a game by yourself in your room, and now you're interacting with other people. So what you were doing before by yourself, you can now do with lots of other people, and you know, it's more of a social interaction than it is here in America. Like, I've only maybe once played StarCraft with another person in real life, and it was probably William Miller, and I probably beat him, too.
Look, I'm your only friend. We've been over this before. There can be only one, and that is me.
But over in South Korea, like, every day you get off school, you play that new kid who's talking smack on the other side of the playground about his StarCraft skills.
Dude, I just have this mental image of one of those internet cafes, and like some kid is just playing peacefully, and the school bully like kicks the door in, puts on his anime gloves, and challenges him. Zerg rushes the shit out of him, and the kid runs home crying, because he just got served.
So, yeah, if you guys ever just want to read about something really fascinating, just go look up, like, South Korean gaming culture. It is mind-blowing how different it is from the rest of the world. All right, well, we got anything else to talk about StarCraft 2?
Dude, I'm going to Zerg rush that dog in a second.
Man, God.
Dude, Justin Fink's going to come out of Georgia. He's going to dip his sneaker in arsenic and kick that dog in the face.
Have we talked about that, Justin Fink? About the coming apocalypse.
It was alluded to in your interview.
Oh, that's right. All right, we'll leave it at that then.
Dude, hide that power.
Hide that power.
All right, well, now it's time for releases.
Okay, and releases this week, we have Halo 2 for the PC. Halo 2, we all know what that is, May 31st, 2007. Mario Party 8 for the Wii, dated May 29th.
Halo 2, only on Vista, though. You got to make that distinction.
Because we all know it utilizes that raw horsepower offered by DirectX 10 for those stunning graphics.
Dude, and the speed!
And the speed!
Well, a William Miller, all right, Steve Jobs' keynote just became Microsoft press event.
Dude, it uses that extra processing power to display naked man on your computer.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's got, like, it was delayed because, like, I guess some developer put, like, a picture of a somewhere in the code.
Dude, it's the whitest, man, palest man developer
They had to delay it to remove him. All right, what else we got, William Miller?
I don't know, but I think in our games Blake Buck, we need to put face.jpg hidden in everywhere. I was talking to Justin Fink about this earlier. Face.jpg is like looking at Cthulhu or something. Some like pan-dimensional horror from H.P. Lovecraft. If you can look at Cthulhu or face.jpg, you know, you're going to be all right.
Dude, face.jpg is not downloaded. It's summoned.
It's summoned. That's right. All right, we got Shadowrun, Xbox 360, and PC. Justin Fink is going to give us an off-the-cuff judgment of Shadowrun a little later, May 29th. High-powered guns and high magic clash in this multiplayer shooter.
Now, you also forgot Mario Party 8. We kind of ran over that.
Kind of glazed over that one, Mario Party 8, 29th of May.
Dude, how many of these f***ing games are they going to make?
Look, it's going to sell a million copies because people got nothing to play on their Wiis right now.
Well, the thing is, I don't even know what the hell happened to... Like, I heard of Mario Party 5, and then I heard of Mario Party 8. I don't know what happened to 6 and 7. I don't know what happened to 1 through 4.
Dude, those are microphone games on the GameCube. Oh, God.
It's like, how the hell do we get up to 8 already?
Look, I'm ready for Mario Party 10. We need to just skip some numbers and go to 10.
Dude, Mario Party Tournament 2007.
All right, so I guess I'll get these next ones. Mortal Kombat Armageddon for the Wii, coming out May 29, 2007. Mortal Kombat Armageddon features 60 playable characters spanning blah, 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 blah. I've heard that this is going to have some sort of Wii controls. I don't know about that, guys.
Dude, I saw the fatality list and the corresponding controls for the Wii controller.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, on paper, it looks pretty hot.
Look, see, this is one thing I don't like about how Wii games are going. Like, it's like, oh, we'll take a game, and then we'll make you just wiggle around. Now it's a Wii game.
Like, what do you have to do? Like, what's the...
You gotta, like, you know, like, make half circles and stuff with your Wiimote and...
There's, like, different moves for, like, different motions. So if you have a sword, you can do stabbing motions and shish kebab a guy.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. It's, like, it's more procedural. Like, the fatalities are more procedural, right?
Yeah, it's all create your own fatality now. So, like, each motion is a move on your fatality.
I don't know if I like that or not.
Yeah, I'm reserving judgment till I play it, but...
Then again, like, 10 fatalities for 60 characters, that adds up.
You can tell by Mortal Kombat 3, they were scraping the barrel.
Yeah, seriously.
You remember, we were doing a review of Mortal Kombat Armageddon, and basically what I said was since there are so many characters, like, they just got rid of custom fatalities and gave sort of everybody, make your own fatality.
But I actually missed the scraping the barrel. Like, in Mortal Kombat 3, one dude had a fatality where a Mortal Kombat arcade cabinet game just comes down and crushes the dude.
Yeah, man. Mortal Kombat 3 had some weird ones. Like, there's one where, like, the world blows up with Cyrax.
He just opens up his chest, bombs just keep blowing out, and then it just cuts way out to world exploding. Fatality.
All right, so we've also got Crush for PSP. Crush is set in a 3D world. Oh, I played this game. This game sucks. There's a demo of this on Puzzle Quest, Justin Fick.
Say what?
Isn't there a demo of this on Puzzle Quest? Oh, you don't have PSP Puzzle Quest.
I don't have the PSP Puzzle Quest. I got DS Puzzle Quest.
Oh, that's right. Well, I played this thumbs down. I'm not even reading this. May 29th. Get that out of here.
Dude, this is one of those games that's going to get, like, all 10 just because it uses an original Crush 3D to 2D environment. Dude, it looks like a...
Oh, is this the one that, like, that shifts around...
It's like you're a block, you're like a cube rolling around like a track made out of cubes, and you can go onto the different sides of the track, and it's like a puzzle.
Oh, okay. I thought this was that game that where you're some dude that has insomnia, and like you can switch between like an orthonormal view and a perspective view, and
yeah, that's the one.
No,
yeah, I don't know what the hell you're playing, Blake Buck.
Well, no. I know what I'm... Look, okay, maybe I don't know what I'm playing. All right.
You sure it wasn't, like, Cube Crush?
It might have been Cube Crush. I don't know. It could have been Cube Crush.
I heard this game is pretty cool, actually. Like, some of the... I don't know. It might have been a Gama Sutra article or something I read about it. But it looked like, I don't know, one of those games that could be pretty cool, but might not be. I don't know. That was my stinging analysis. That was like a laser analysis.
Dude, people are going to their pants because it's such an original idea until they realize that it's...
Look, anybody ever see that movie, The Cube?
Dude, The Cube. Hypercube, baby.
Dude, Cube 3, a.k.a. Cube 0. That's what I'm talking about.
Dude, Cube harder.
The Cube is a movie where these people are in a cube and it tries to kill them. And they have to escape the cube. That is the best plot ever.
Dude, it's like Hellraiser Inside Out.
It's Cube 3, the Cubaning.
Dude, all I know of the Cube is the DDR song. The Cube.
Alright, so finally, well, my final thing here is, what is this?
Atelier
Iris 3, Grand Phantasm for the PS2. I'm not going to read the description. Weeaboo anime RPG? Two adventurers seek fragments of a magical book that will grant them any wish. What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
Dude, my wish is that this game didn't have such a fruity-ass title.
So that's coming out on May 29th.
All right, also we have Monster Madness Battle for Suburbia, Xbox 360 and PC, came out May 29th, 2007. Now, Monster Madness is a four-player cooperative top-down shooter. Now, this is like four-player Kill Monty with physics. But all that, they managed to fail miserably. I tried the demo of this, and it...
Dude, I played the demo big down.
Dude, that's it. Judgment, no more thumbs up, thumbs down. Now it's up, down.
Okay. We gotta bleep that. You know that, right? They're not gonna know what's going on.
Look, circular objects around your crotch, okay?
Dude, but it had all the elements. It had the weapons and the vehicles and blowing up and you collecting a bunch of different crap and it sucks. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. It sucks.
Thumbs down. All right, what else we got?
Thumbs down. We also have we also have Hospital Tycoon for the PC.
Oh boy.
And coming out June 5th, 2007. Now, I don't even know what to say about this one. Look,
Dr. had better, like, explode out of this game and start calling me girl names.
Look, it says humor-infused medical management. I don't know. If they went, like, with a funny direction on this game, it could be good.
Dude, I want to spend tax dollars on exploding patients.
Man, who put this next one in here?
Dude, that was all me, baby. Dream Day Wedding coming out for PC on June 4th, 2007. Gowns, flowers, food, guests. Your best friend Jenny's wedding isn't going to plan itself. Dude, I can make a game like this.
Dude, I'm in line.
Dude.
I'm in line right now.
Dude, you'd have to, like, pick your gown and have, like, cloth physics, and it'd be like a nice flowing dream gown, and then you'd pick your cake, and you have to have, like, this little mini game to bake the cake, and then the day of the wedding is when the zombies show up.
I like the rest of this review, or the description. Monster Madness is a four-player cooperative top-down shooter.
Oh, copy-paste.
Look, Dream Day Wedding is a four-player cooperative top-down shooter. You play online with three friends to try to stop monster invasion using customizable weapons, vehicles, and dresses.
That's the game I'd make.
Look,
if only.
Dude, it'd be starring the bride.
All right, well, now it's time for the judgment, baby. Guess, Vic, what you got? I hear you got some secret judgment heat for us this week.
All right, I got secret judgment heat. We got the demo of Shadowrun here in the office, and I am going to judge this game purely on its tutorial level.
Uh-oh. This does not sound good.
That's all I needed to see. Tutorial level, Shadowrun. So if you guys remember Shadowrun for the Super NES, perhaps, or
for Sega too, son.
Oh, that's right. It was on Sega,
but SNES version better. So it was this really quirky like cult RPG and had like isometric graphics, and it was pretty cool. It had like a cool, you know, like gun aiming system, and you could level your dude up.
I played all the way through that game, and it was awesome. Like you could, you know, you bought guns. Like most RPGs, I think it's the only RPG, certainly of the Super NES era, where it was like kind of film noir, cyber themed, and you'd go around. You had to fight the man, and I remember at the end of that game, you had to climb up to the top of like, you know, Illuminati Tower and just ice everybody on the way.
So now, remember the feeling of nostalgia that washed over you, and the thrill and the experience. Now take the opposite of that, and you have Shadowrun for 360. Like they took that, and they're like, you know what, first person shooter. They basically tried to recreate. It seems like Counter-Strike. I don't know. Like I played.
Well, here's my problem with like the license. It seems like they had like this. This like very bland generic cyber game, and then they were like, "Oh, nobody's going to play Cyber Fight 2007. Let's call it Shadow Run."
Dude, that's going to be Fight Force 2, Cyber Fight 2007.
Fight Force.
So they basically took your the next step of the first person shooter. So you have your dude. And he has guns, but now they give you know, quote unquote magic. So now you can double jump. That's a magic spell.
Ooh.
Oh, Blake Buck, do you remember? You remember Suzu?
Oh, I remember Suzu.
You remember Suzu, right? Suzu was one of our friends in high school.
The Art of War?
No, well, sort of. He was this really angry Chinese kid, right?
Okay.
And we asked Suzu one day, Suzu, how come Chinese people can fly? Because you know they fly.
I've seen him.
Yeah, I mean, watch the movie. So Suzu said he thought about it for a second. He says, "No, we don't fly. We can just jump multiple times in the air. It's nothing special in this Shadowrun game."
That's what happens if you fall out of a plane. You can save yourself if you double jump at the last second, dude. It negates all fall damage. I know how this works. So, like, along with your double jump, you now have X-ray vision, which basically points out dudes by looking through walls. And they have a teleport spell, which teleports you like 10 feet forward.
Hmm. Yeah, I've seen that in WoW. That's not new. Okay, Phasma Studio.
So it's like honestly, it's like who really gives a shit? It's like the sole reason why this game is even remotely important is because it's the first game that has 360 to PC. Interplayability, so I guess thumbs up for that direction, but the game itself, thumbs down.
So put it in the same drawer with Stalker?
Dude, I don't give a shit about Stalker.
Oh, speaking of first-person shooters, Justin Fick has written off. That was just a... Dude, I bought Prey. That game rocks. You are dumb.
Dude, I can't... if I have to play one more level of Native American angst, I'm gonna cut my freaking eyes out and put him in a dream catcher and jump off a fucking cliff.
I was turned off by the demo, but I didn't play long enough because, like, a second after you walk out of the bar where you're, like, talking about your feelings, aliens abduct you and stab you in the face. Awesome.
Yeah, but the whole time he keeps bitching about his feelings. My dude, just shut the fuck up and shoot people.
And you can't die in that game.
Dude, that's the only character I was begging for him to die. It's like, dude, just shut up so you stop bitching about your ugly-ass girlfriend. I do not give a shit. Like that game's only saving grace is after you blow your girlfriend's brains out. Oh, spoiler, by the way.
Oh, no!
you have to go to, like, your spirit world. We're supposed to awaken your Indian powers or whatever. But it doesn't matter because the aliens come and they attack that. And you just whip out your guns and shoot them all. That's the only saving grace in that game.
Justin Fick, I knew that girl was going to die because I saw the chapter I'm on next is Rescue Girl. And then I'm looking on Game Facts, and there's a lot more game after that. I knew that wasn't going to end well.
Look, son, I play that game, and I just want to play Two Rock.
Two Rock.
Blake Buck, you remember that Two Rock shirt you used to wear all the time?
Dude, I think I still have that somewhere at the Buck House. I used to wear this shirt. It had a bloody two on it. I got it for reserving Two Rock 2.
Nice,
dude. And it attracted the women like no other. A magnet, they called it.
It was huge. It was one of Blake Buck's signature massive shirts. Blake Buck loved them extra large shirts. And then Ariel bought him a bunch of tight shirts that she liked. Oh, speaking of which, we haven't told the listeners as to the woman situation in the Blake Buck household.
That's right. Well, my girlfriend Ariel is here for the next few weeks, and but when we're doing podcasts, she likes to make noise. You know, she's trying to read book. Blake doesn't approve of that. She's doing DS or something, eating cookies, something. I don't know. Always making noise. So whenever we do podcasts, I stick her in the tub. And lock the door behind me. I leave Cheez-Its on the floor.
just put out a little food dish.
So the amount of games that Blake Buck is going to purchase over the next, I don't know, 3 months or however long she's staying?
Dude, and there's more to that. Blake Buck, look, he's been having some trouble with his finances, okay?
Uh-oh.
Blake Buck just bought Quicken, all right?
Quicken?
Did you get overdrawn one too many times, Blake Buck?
One too many times. So, I'm on Quicken, and it has a way I can catalog like what I'm buying, and it'll give me charts which represent what I buy the most of.
Dude, does it have a track command?
Track? Chart track?
Yeah, it'll be like, you know, 3/4 game.
Dude, that's the major food groups right there.
That's another that's another piece of software that does exactly what you want it to. Tax?
Tax track.
Tax track chart.
Dude, it's wallet track, whatever. All right. And now it's time for the jank. I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. All right, guys. I got janks for you this week. I had a lot of janks. We hadn't done a show in a while, so I've been piling up janks. And so I'm gonna blast you in the face with janks right now. All right, so you all know Forza Motorsport came out this week. Oh, that wasn't even on our list. Well, Forza Motorsport 2 came out. Go get it. Xbox. There you go. But if you haven't played Forza Motorsport 1, it is easily one of the best simulation racing games I've ever played. In fact, I'm a huge Gran Turismo 4 fan, and I may be buying a race wheel and buy me Forza 2 because I liked 1 so much. I hadn't played 2 yet, but I'm really digging 1.
Wait, Blake Buck, you don't have a race wheel yet?
Not for $360, baby. They're $130.
Damn.
That's a lot of codes. I'm going to have to manage my finance. I'm going to have to pull out Quicken to get that one.
Be like, Quicken, turn this into race wheel.
I can budget out 10% of all the money I get. We'll go towards the race wheel fund.
It's going to come back with a dialogue box. Race wheel equals 65 burritos.
Yeah, I can have it calculate my budget in Sneak Kings.
Now is that the old $4 Sneak King or the new $1 Sneak King? Can it tell a difference?
I don't know. We might have to label them separately. So yeah, Forza is easily the best racer, or at least you got to keep in mind there's simulation racing and there's arcade racing. On one end you got Forza and Gran Turismo 4. On the other end you got Burnout, which is like Burnout is like shooting game for race for cars.
Wee Miller loves Burnout,
but I really like Forza. It's very I like you know. Not everybody's going to like Forza. It's a very slow-paced, you know, you really have to get into learning, like, the turn mechanics and, like, learn about, like, traction ratios and stuff. But if you can really get into it. And so you can get the original Forza at GameStop EB, $7.99 used. Blam.
I can never get into, like, Forza and Gran Turismo. Like, they look really good, and I've seen some of the designs people are doing on their cars for Forza, and just amazing. But I tried playing Gran Turismo, and I tried getting my first f***ing license, and I can't get past, like, the first goddamn, like, go forward and stop in this box. And Justin Fick failed it a million times. I'm like, dude, what buttons my f***ing guns on these sticks? Where's my grenade launcher?
See, that's why I like Forza and like Grand Theft or Grand. I keep saying Grand Theft Auto. That's why I like simulation racing games because they're so hard and you really got to learn the mechanics really good. It's like an entirely different kind of game from like, you know, Burnout or Mario Kart. And that's why what appeals to me.
See, this is what I don't understand. Like, I would never ever associate that type of game with Blake Buck. Same as, like, I would never associate, like, Bridge Construction Set or Myst with Blake Buck. But he surprises you sometimes, that Blake Buck.
Yeah, look, I like all kinds of games. Look, I think I have the widest taste in games out of the three of us here. Well, then again, William Miller doesn't play games, so no one knows his taste. Justin Fick likes Shoot. And I am a master of all forms of video games.
Dude, I like Shoot, Bang, and Boom.
I got one game. It's called Visual Studio. That's my game. It's my favorite game.
All right, so our next jank. I don't know if it's too late to get these deals. Last weekend, EB GameStop ran a little promotion they call Game Days, and they had a whole bunch of their merchandise slashed in price. So I'm not sure if it's still going. I think it's still going on. In fact, I'm pretty sure, but you know, if you're hearing this podcast, you know, 2 weeks after we record it, they may not be there anymore. But you could get Condemned on Xbox 360 for $20. You could get like 30, or maybe not 30, but they had at least 20 or so UMD videos, brand new, $5 each.
Dude, going on a business sale.
I guess so. I got Starship Troopers. And let me tell you, William Miller.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I have forgotten how great that movie was.
I could carry Starship Troopers around with me. That'd be like carrying around a Bible wherever I go. I can just reference it whenever I have a question about life.
And I had never watched a UMD video. I could not believe when I watched Starship Troopers how amazing the video and sound quality were. Like, I was watching with my studio headsets. I mean, it was like I was in the theater in terms of like sound quality.
Son, you're going in with the first wave. Means more bugs for us to kill.
The video, there's no compression. You know, like on DVD and dark scenes, you'll get like compression artifacts. And stuff. None of that. I was shocked by how good it looked. And really, they should have sent like a preview tape with you and with the PSP. So I would have known that UMDs didn't.
Mine came with one.
Spider-Man.
Well, mine didn't. I ate that.
It had a trailer for Stealth.
That doesn't count.
Dude, the suck of that movie just blinded me and I couldn't see the video.
Dude, on UMD, even that video looked hot.
So, yeah, and they've got some good, I was trying to, they have Akira, the anime classic, and I was trying to get that one, but my store didn't have it, so your mileage will vary by what they have left, but yeah, definitely check it out. Oh, also, and they had StarCraft Battle Chest, $10, blam, and Diablo 2 Original and Expansion for $9 each.
Jank.
Wow.
Some hot deals there.
Man, the comic books industry does this thing called Free Comic Book Day.
I've heard of that.
And that's when they like put out a free book of like all their series or whatever, and every comic book store like celebrates Free Comic Book Day like a holiday. That's what they need to have that in the games industry. Free Game Day.
Dude, it needs to be a national holiday. Free Day.
All right, well now guys, it's time for the contest.
Greetings, BDP listeners. It's Mr. Easy to Say, otherwise known as Tom Barbalé, just cutting in here with a little bit of post-production heat. We have a winner in the Sounds Like Blake Buck contest. So I'm going to play the winning entry, following my little spiel. If this is your entry, please email me, tom@noblaepe.com. Also, sip on the Swede. I owe you a t-shirt as well. I've emailed Blake Buck and no response from him, so drop me an email as well. And by the way, I'm going to verify through Blake Buck whether the person who emails me is actually the winner. So that might take a little longer, but I will be seeing Blake Buck on related correspondence. So email me, tom@noblaepe.com. If this is your entry, you are the winner.
It is simply impossible to capture the enigmatic Blake Buck with one impression. Instead, I've chosen to represent him at various important moments in his life. First off, we'll hear Blake Buck in his younger, prepubescent days.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Games Podcast. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is Justin Ficarata, author of Kill Monty, and William Miller, who is an artist for Freeverse. What's going on, guys?
Not too much, but
not a lot, dude.
All right, and this is the Mac Gaming News for October 14th, 2005.
Now we hear Blake Buck in his final years reminiscing over the greatness of the South.
So, let me tell you something. Did you know that Massachusetts denied the decisions of the Supreme Court? That's what really caused the Civil War. It wasn't even the South at all.
This is Blake Buck in his developmental stages, now known as Buck Beta, or Blake Buck 1.0.
What's this business? Sounds like I'm back in the barracks.
What the f***?
We end with Blake Buck in the prime of his career as a rock star.
All right, now it's time for feedback.
Dave J says, hi, first off, has Blake Buck or Double B ever met a pizza they didn't like, or cake, or cookie, or pie, for that matter? What do you think about those yuppie scum...
Who dabbed the oil.
Oh, who dabbed the oil. Oh, yeah, those hippies.
That's the worst. Look, Blake Buck used to work at a restaurant, okay? And sometimes people would ask me, they say, this pizza's too greasy. Would you get me a couple of napkins, right? And so they would dab their pizzas, you know, and get that the extra grease off top. And then they would leave them there. After they left, I'd squeeze them and drink the juice out of the napkins.
Dude, I was going to say, like, the correct reaction to that is to simply reach down into the oven, take a pepperoni slice, and slap them across the face with it. Like, you fail at life, son.
I also got a George Foreman grill, okay? Whenever I'm grilling, I take that little drip grease tray. That's my drink.
Dude, it's the lean, mean grilling machine, but not anymore. It makes fat grease smoothies, too.
So Dave J goes on to say, Blake Bug, this may be a little early, but for Halloween, you can just drape your cranium with cloth containing square color tiles and go as a Rubik's Cube.
And he sent us a photo of it was like that Halloween photo from last year for the Halloween show, and he had just like Rubik's Cube on top of my face.
That's one of the funniest Blake Buck photos I've ever seen, is the Halloween photo. He's got this big tub of candy, and he's got the suspect eye on whoever's taking that picture. It's pretty awesome.
I'm in this beautiful, like, leather mahogany chair with my bowl of candy.
Awesome. I love it. Dude, oh, and Justin Fick, you silly hump, what you think about Stalker Now, baby? Dave J, I could be your daddy. Listen, son, Dave J, I still don't give a shit about Stalker. Dude, Stalker came out and nerds the world round were, like, praying, like, please don't let this game... Please don't let this game... And then GameStop gave it like an 8 out of 10 because GameStop gives everything 8 out of 10. And everyone was like, it was like fanfare. It was like, oh my God, thank God our game doesn't do the game. I don't give a shit about it. Next email.
All right. The game. Moving on. Dylan F. says, hello, BDPE dudes. I will try and keep this short since Blake Buck can't read. That's you're right, sir. And still hasn't gotten a mental checkup like he said he would. Look. I'm taking summer school classes, all right? It's hard. I was the last one to turn in my quiz today. I was sad.
On cookies?
No, it was on journalism. Where do you find journalism? A, newspaper. B, rock. C, I want... I did not pick the last two. I was thinking about, but did not. So he goes on to say, I just wanted to write thanks for making the podcast, and it's been great. Me and my friend here both listen, got the PlayStation 1 the other day and played all those games with 2D graphics. It's amazing how much BDPE language has come into our vocabulary. Constant remarks like, get that code or don't take my heat.
Nice.
I have a question. Do you think you guys will be putting shows out more regularly on summer, or will you be faster on slow or slower in putting them out? I am definitely going to say we're going to be faster at putting out shows. William Miller is out of school. Justin Fick is just finishing up his secret heat. Blake Buck just finished up his finals in school, so we're gonna have definitely a lot more time to work on shows over the summer.
Dude, come July, Justin Fick is a free man.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
I definitely know what you're saying about the language being so pervasive. Now, William Miller works in game development teams at his school, and each one he comes in contact with ends up speaking as we do here on the BDPE by the end of our time there. I swear to God, Nick got up and did our presentation for that Unreal mod we made or whatever, and he said, "All right, guys, check out this heat."
Nice. A plus.
And that was it. He just played the game. It is. It's infectious. Spread it.
Dude, all of Freeverse every morning. It's, "What's up, D?"
I love it.
Dude, and the latest meme to make its way through Freeverse hallowed halls is the Blake Buck grunt. Boo! Boo!
All right, but keep Dylan F. He sends us another email that's not so nice. So keep Dylan F. in mind. We're going to be getting back to him a little later.
We're not done with you.
We're going to take a seat.
All right. Richard L. says, "Hey, guys. I've been a listener for a month or so now and wanted to say thanks for all the hours of entertainment. I'll keep this short, so here goes. William Miller, how do you like SCAD? I'm a SCAD alumni who graduated in 2004 with a BA in computer art, interactive design track. I like it very much, but I'm ready to go. Blake Buck, I started listening to BDPE when I heard your stand-up entry on Keith and the Girl." I didn't know you got your stand-up entry on Keith and the Girl, Blake Buck.
Neither did I.
Well, I didn't win. The dude who won last year won. Lame. But I would like to say I got second place.
Nice.
Yeah, well, a couple of people have emailed us saying that they started listening to the show because they heard my stand-up entry on Keith and the Girl.
That's one thing we need to do more of. We need to do cross-show promotion. Like, we need to make if anybody out there, I know we said this before back in the IMG days, but if anybody out there is interested in, like, audio editing or whatever and can cut together, like, a 30-second radio spot for BDPE, go ahead and do that, and we'll use it.
Yeah, we actually got another email. I didn't put it in our wiki, but it was from, like, the Gadget Boys podcast, and they wanted to do a promo swap with us.
Yeah.
And I didn't email them back because we don't have promo. So we really need to get on the ball here, guys. I say this to our listeners because apparently we make them do our work for us.
So he goes on to say, "Great stuff. I went to high school and college with Spooky. If you've ever listened to Spooky in the City, I was on I was his guest on episode 3. Justin Fick, whatever happened to your hot date?"
Dude, between this and what was it on the forums asking like saying that he wins by default in the hot date contest and he wants $50 a cafe press. Dude, no, I won the hot date contest. The contest is over. I get $50 of Cafe Press merchandise. Kiss my ass.
So Richard L. also attached an article, Guitar Hero 2 themed story, a fiction, I guess, that he sent to Bruce Morrison. Blake Buck, have you read that yet?
I thought I did, and then I forgot. I don't know. I was going to write this guy back. See, here's what happened. We get emails, and I'm like, "Oh, I need to email this guy back." And then, like, it just disappears from my inbox. You know, it goes up. See, Blake Buck never deletes email. So once it goes up too far, I forget about it forever. But yeah, I'll go look at that. And if I remember, I think I read through it and it was good. So I'll stick that on the site after the show.
Good. All right, Blake Buck, take this inflammatory Dylan F.
All right. In fact, these next two emails are not. They are unhappy. We've got so many positive emails this week, and then we get Dylan F. crushes my dreams. "Hey, guys, I just want to say that I thought the Treasured Moments with Blake Buck video was really inappropriate. For me, it wasn't funny at all. Watching Blake Buck name parts of the body over and over again that didn't need to be named. Oh, wait, what is he saying? Watching Blake Buck name parts of the body over and over again that didn't need to be named that much. I thought it was a really stupid idea. I'm still a big fan of the show. I just don't think you guys should do it again. I'm sure most of the listeners agree with me." Well, I'm glad you speak for everyone.
Well, it looks like Daniel here agrees with him.
Take the seat, just pick.
Daniel writes, dude, thumbs down on that video. When I see Treasure Moments, I want to see Blake Buck getting owned. Yeah, so thumbs down on that. Well, I can't even call it heat because it ain't good. Damn.
Now, see, I think these... And I got this... See, Blake Buck got this, too, when he went home for the summer. And my mom asked me, "Blake, what is this video where you're talking about on the internet?"
Dude, listen, Blake Buck is speaking the truth. When Blake Buck and William Miller were out in New York, we went to Nintendo Store. Nintendo Store had a circle of kids playing DS in their DS section. So me and William Miller opened up our DSs. We're like, "Dude, we're going to assault these kids with..." But as soon as those DSs came open, dude, the kids were on the ball. They preemptively us via PictoChat from all. It was like a coordinated attack.
See, the point I was trying to make with the video is that, like, PictoChat, you can say whatever you want about innovation. It just evolves into people drawing at each other. If you play for even more than 60 seconds, there's going to be somewhere.
Blake Buck has delivered to you an illuminating aspect of human nature. Sometimes the truth is not easy to hear.
I think these people are just uncomfortable hearing the word. And Tom, you better not bleep this. I want you to hear it in its full. And also, if you guys noticed in the video, I said like, yes, VJ equals no, right? There is no J in. I don't know why I said that.
Dude, that's the new name for it, VJ. Why you break me off a little of that, VJ?
I don't know. If you guys are uncomfortable with it, you know, tough luck. I don't think any of the other videos. I shot four or maybe even five. I shot about four or five of these videos, and I shot them all at once. And none of the other ones have any lewd language in it. So if that's what's turning you off, fear not. None of the other ones have any dirtiness in them.
You know, it occurred to me the other day that because of this show, none of us will ever run for public office. In fact, I think nobody that's ever associated with our show, once we get vetted for congressman or whatever, they're going to dig this up and it's over with.
No, so this is what's going to happen. It's because of this show, none of us are ever going to win. All of us are going to run for public office. Yeah.
That's right. All right, well, now it's time for the stump, baby. All right, I hope you kids are ready. I hadn't thought of anything yet. So I like how I'm always last, because I get the most time to think. But I'll have something for you. All right, so give me a lay heat on me.
All right, so my heat this week is Journey.
Oh, son, it's over with. Journey was a horrible, horrible arcade game featuring 80s popular super hit group Journey and played in, like, not even 8-bit, like 2-bit sound, like... And you had to, like, go around and dodge lasers and get to your like microphone and get back to your spaceship.
See, I knew when I picked this one, Blake Buck would play right into my trap. You didn't let me finish. You didn't let me finish the whole name of the game, baby.
Oh, I see.
The name of the game is Journey: The Quest Begins.
Dude, that's the prequel.
Look, no more tricks. What? I just, no. See, I stumped you, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to invent a fake game right now, y'all. Yeah, it's Journey Mega Super Adventure. Yeah, you don't know that one, Blake Buck.
And look, Blake Buck, you clearly have not ever played the Journey game, because the Journey game actually had analog sound, which was played back on a tape deck inside the machine. So it wasn't like 8-bit music, it was...
I've only played ROMs of it. I've never played the original. I mean, I've only played the original.
The original cabinet had a tape machine in it. That's why it broke so much. Wow. Yeah,
dude, listen, son. If it doesn't have a gun that shoots CDs, I don't care.
Yeah, man. Fucking Revolution X. That is the best music to game tie-in ever.
All right, so Journey: The Quest Begins is an interactive fiction computer game written by none other than Mark Blanc of Zork fame, and it was released for Amiga, Apple II, Atari ST, Commodore 64, DOS, and Macintosh.
It was followed up by the equally popular Journey 2: The Quest Continues, and Journey Journey 3: The Quest Still Continues, and Journey 4: The Quest Ends.
Yeah.
Journey 5: We Ran Out of Money. All right, Justin Fick, what heat you got for me?
All right, I'm taking a chance this week. I'm going a little bit forward. My stump this week is called Evo.
Wait, say that again?
Evo.
Son.
I'm taking a chance.
Evo? Is this like 4x4 Evolution on the Xbox?
Dude, did I get Blake Buck with this one?
No, it's an older, it's older than that.
It's 4x4 Evolution. It's got like, that's the one with the dirt bikes in it. And you know, you run up them hills and there's mud.
Dirt track, no. Son. William Miller, go.
That was my guess, the Evo 4x4 racing game.
Dude!
Are you sure it does not have four-wheelers?
There are four-legged creatures.
You can't even stop. Look, there is a game called Evo, which has trucks in it. You can't get around that fact.
Evo, E-V-O. It's a Super Nintendo game.
Look, by that same logic, I just stumped you, William Miller.
Son, come on, dude.
Son.
I like this back and forth.
Is this Search for Eden?
Yeah, Evo Search for Eden.
I play this game. It's RPG. I play this game.
William Miller, it's RPG.
Dude, it's made by, it's one of those like crappy Enix RPGs from back in the day.
Dude, it was good up until the last chapter where you turn into a human being and you suck.
Yeah, you start like as a little dot or something, if I remember right, and then you like change. I don't even.
You start as a fish.
That's what it was. Dude.
Listen, son, you start as a fish, you eat. You become a bigger fish with bigger teeth, then you become a dinosaur.
Dude, this is probably the worst stump ever, Justific, because not only did we get you once with Evo 4x4, but we got you twice.
Dude, neither of you got Evo.
Son, we got both Evos, all right?
It's a 4x4 racing game. You don't know son.
Dude, look it up, baby. Evo 4x4, there's PlayStation 2.
Dude, I know, and it sucks. It's a racing game. Burnout, better.
Dude, let me tell you, ain't nothing like when you hit a ramp and you feel that cool wind in your long flowing mullet, and it blows up under your race. Your cap. It's got Ole Miss on the front. I tell you, boy,
Blake Buck, I saw that mullet coming out.
You know what I do after that? And then you know you land your car, and then you drive over to the Sizzler. You guys ever been to Sizzler?
Is that the Western Sizzler, Blake Buck?
It's short for Western Sizzler. Sometimes you ain't got the time to say the whole, and you get chicken fingers. You get rolls. I'll tell you, Western Sizzler. Y'all got to look that up. Mm.
I can see how this is the opposite of evolution.
One more tangential jank. I was driving home to Jackson from Oxford, and there was this buffet place I saw on the way home. And you know what? It was a giant buffet. There were like fatties waiting outside. And you know what the name was? Fire Mountain.
Dude, we have a Fire Mountain here.
Dude, Fire Mountain.
It's like a Golden Corral. It's like a Golden Corral, Fire Mountain.
Dude, no one gives a about Golden Corral.
Dude, I love Golden Corral.
Burning mountains of food.
Dude, it's a mountain of food and it's on fire. Dude, that's the last level of Fight Force. Fire Mountain.
Needless to say, I stopped and ate the entire buffet. It was gone.
Blake Buck, I saw that mullet in that video.
Look, it's growing. You guys look at that video. When I shake my head, you can see my full-blown mullet coming in. It's on the way. We're like 6 months from full-grown mullet.
Working the front, party in the back, baby.
Look, man, you got to shave the front. That's what's going to seal the deal, Blake Buggs, is to shave the front.
I know. Look, I'm still waiting. The time is not right, William Miller. See, it's going to hit you like a... Like, see, you're going to say, oh, Blake, your hair's kind of like, bam, mullet in your face.
You're going to turn your head just slightly, just so I can see it.
And you're going to get slapped. It's that long, it slaps you.
Dude, he's gonna flip the goddamn hair, and it's going to be all over. All
right, I got a stump for you kids. This one, now see, I like doing stumps that you guys should know but don't because you suck. All right, this game is called Indigo Prophecies.
Dude, that game.
Son.
All right, go. Let me hear it.
Dude, let's make a game completely about story and have a totally arbitrary sex scene and have 20 endings, but they're all the f***ing same ending. Sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks.
I heard... Well, that's true. Indigo Prophecies, I have it right here, because I recently purchased it and have not played it yet. Stranger has been stabbed to death. The killer is you! Oh, no! I heard this game is really good from, who told me that? Lucas. Lucas, he's like, Blake, Indigo Prophecies, it's the best game. Look, it was $5 at Game Days. All right, I had to buy it.
Dude, there's a reason it was $5 at Game Days.
Look, I've heard a bunch of people say it's good, so I'm going to check it out. And I'll give you guys maybe a judgment or something next week.
Dude, Enter the Matrix is $5 at Game Days.
All right, well, now it's time for the outro. Alright, well, that's it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
That was a pretty good show, Blake Buck.
Good. It was like getting out a Duke that's been backed up for ages.
You know, I was getting ready to say something about a Duke myself. We were on the same wavelength there, Justin Fick.
In fact, Justin Fick, earlier I said something about a Duke being backed up. All three of us are making Duke references separately of each other. If you'd like to send us any email, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or calling our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. You can also donate to us at donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. And be sure to vote for us at Podcast Alley, guys. You can either go to check out the show notes. There's a direct link there. You just fill out the form, or you can go to our bestdamnpodcastever.com There's a little button to click on to donate or vote. So thanks for all those votes we've written. And look, guys, they're paying off. We're getting new listeners. We're growing the show. It's going good. So keep those votes coming. I just got my secretary just told me some secret heat. Best Damn Podcast Ever now has a mailing address. If you guys want to send us bombs, you can send your... You can send them to, let's see, where's the address? Get in here. What is this? I don't have it in my notes. What is it just? What's the rest of it? Here, you do it. Come over here. You come do it. Get over here. We're giving it a sexy voice. Get over here. Put your DS down, put some pants on, and get over here. All right, stick your face in there. What's the P.O. Box?
It's P.O. Box, 1954, Oxford, Mississippi, 38655.
Thank you. Oh. So there you have it. If you want to mail us bombs, poison, anything of that nature. I like how that's what we automatically assume. When we
send. Love and kisses, Brian Crescente.
We'd like to thank Tom Barbalay, I guess he writes this every week. Tom Barbalay writes us a note here every week. What does this say?
Dude, William Miller, you're the scholar. Go. I can't read this.
William Miller's thinking about fried chicken, okay?
Dude, my head was in that sesame chicken in my fridge.
Dude, the only word I can make out here is ammo, which is, of course, short for ammunition.
Ammo de la censura. I think it's sincerely something, Tom Barbalay.
Dude, it's ammunition of the censor. That's what that means. Ammunition of the censor.
Ammunition of the censor.
All right. Well, for all of us here at Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Dog Pound Miller.
And I am Justin. What the f*** was my nickname anyway?
Strip Mall? Was it Strip Mall?
Taco Hut.
Oh, Taco Hut.
Taco Hut.
And we'll see you next time.
So although we've awarded a winner to the Sounds Like Blake Buck contest, I recorded a classic piece of Blake Buck history a little earlier in the week for the contest, and I thought, nah, I might as well put it in the feed still. So this is Tom Bartolet's entry, taking it back to the classics, Blake Buck. Podcastdevin.com.